We get some mixed cultural messages about our emotions and the proper display of them. On one hand, we get advice and cues to let things out, to let people know how we feel. On the other hand, there are cultural cues, songs like Don't Let It Show or Tears of a Clown about keeping your feelings inside of you. Our first guest took a look at what happens when we suppress emotions, particularly what other people think of us when we're holding back. Dr. Allison Tackman is at the University of Arizona now. While she was at the University of Oregon, she and Sanjay Srivastava wrote a study about social responses to expressive suppression, the role of personality judgments. It's published recently in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, and Dr. Allison Tackman's here to talk to us about it. Hi, Allison.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So when we say suppression of emotions, what do we mean?
So in general, when people have emotions that they do not want to be having, they can use a variety of different strategies to regulate, or in other words, change their emotions. And one common strategy that people use is expressive suppression. And I'll just refer to it as suppression. And what it is this is a strategy that people use when they're feeling emotion and they try not to show what they are feeling. So they're essentially hiding their emotions.
And am I right in thinking that we have somewhat mixed feelings about the display of emotion?
Exactly. So in our culture, in Western culture, we really value the expression of positive emotions much more so than the expression of negative emotions. And so you can imagine when you're suppressing certain emotions, specifically positive emotions and amusement, that this really kind of runs counter to our norms, our expectations for people to show them. And this is in Western culture, but we definitely know in other cultures, like Asian cultures, these cultures actually may prefer to not show as much of your positive emotion expressive behavior. So yeah, there's definitely cultural variations in what we should and shouldn't show.
You do point out that previous studies on the suppression of expressing emotions can cause trouble with interactions. Where did you want to take things based on where things had gone before in previous studies?
Right. So just to give a little bit of background, previous studies have found that there are social consequences to suppressing emotion. So suppressors, they have more difficulty forming close relationships. They receive less social support in the relationships that they do have, and other people in general are a little less interested in affiliating with them. And we, you know, are really interested in the why. Why is it that suppressors are experiencing these social consequences? And as we mentioned in the article, a lot of the past research has focused on the fact that suppression, it disrupts these back and forth dynamics that, you know, are inherent in social interactions. But we were really interested in saying, well, what about before, you know, suppressors or people who are suppressing even get the chance to interact? Is it possible that people have opportunities to observe them and, you know, form negative personality perceptions of them, which can then lead to these negative social consequences? So, again, we were interested in taking it, you know, before interactions even occur.
So, in other words, that we would see people from a distance, not necessarily know them, and begin to form judgments about the kinds of people they were based on whether they were not, or were or were not showing emotion?
Right, exactly. So you can imagine there's situations, especially nowadays, where so much of, you know, how we're interacting with people is over social media. You can imagine situations where we're often given opportunities to observe someone before a face-to-face interaction. We could observe them when they're by themselves, or we could observe them interacting with other people where they may be suppressing. And so when people are observing someone suppressing, what's going through their minds? You know, what do they think about the suppressor's personality?
When you mention social media, too, I mean, I wonder if social media can play a part, and this I know was beyond the focus of your study, but
right.
but in determining what is the list, and it can be a short list, of appropriate responses to things that would engender emotion.
Right, exactly. And I think in the context of our study, suppression wasn't really a normative or socially appropriate response. And so we were really interested in that kind of situation, what personality judgments are people forming of suppressors. But, you know, in our study, we did actually find a situation in which the suppressors were not viewed more negatively. They're actually viewed more polite, and I can get more, you know, into that. But definitely, I think the future of this research, and something I'm really interested in looking at, is what are the circumstances in which suppression is actually normative and socially appropriate? And in those circumstances, is suppression actually adaptive? And we just don't know enough about that research. You know, as I mentioned, a lot of research is focused on how suppression can be bad for our social lives.
So this must have been a tricky thing to set up. I mean, how do you test the theory that you brought to the table here?
Right. So essentially what we did is we had participants who, these were University of Oregon undergrads, we had them watch videos of people who were either suppressing or expressing their emotions to funny and sad film clips. And then after each video that the participants watched, they then reported their impressions of the suppressor's personality. So that's an overview of the design. We also had a few more things that are a bit more complex in there, but I'm happy to get into that.
All right. So essentially, you were focusing on the first impressions that other people formed of the people who were suppressing emotions, or at
exactly.
least
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Were the people who were displaying emotion watching the videos given any instructions for how they should respond?
So they were actually told, we just want you to give your natural reaction to watching this video. And so usually a natural reaction to watching an emotion-eliciting film clip is to show emotion. So the people who we viewed as the expressors, you know, when they watched the funny film clip from When Harry Met Sally, where Sally fakes an orgasm in a cafe in order to embarrass her date Harry, the typical, you know, expressor, they showed signs of laughter and positive emotion. And the other film clip, which was a sad film clip, The Champ, where a son watches his father die, those expressors, they tended to show, you know, sadness. So crying, sniffling, and all of that. So really, we had our suppressors who were instructed to, you know, act in such a way that people watching you would not know what you were feeling. Suppressors, their instructions were, you know, just react naturally to this film clip. And usually natural reactions meant that they're going to show emotion.
Okay, back to the study with Allison Tackman in a minute five here on the Jefferson Exchange. Back on the Jefferson Exchange, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest is at this moment is Dr. Allison Tackman. She did her doctorate work at the University of Oregon in the psychology department and is now at the University of Arizona. While at the U of O, she and a colleague took a study of what people think of other people who suppress emotions, and their findings were somewhat surprising. We are fairly judgy of people who do suppress emotions. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. But you do cite what you call zero acquaintance and thin slice mm-hmm. encounters. I mean, we really don't know the other people. So, I mean, how can we tell, for example, the difference between people suppressing emotions and people just not moved?
That's a great question. So in our study, we wanted to address that. So in the second, well, I should back up. So in the first study, we were comparing the personality trait judgments that the participants were forming of the suppressors versus the expressors. In study two, we wanted to then compare the personality trait perceptions that the participants were forming of the suppressors against someone who was showing no emotion. And these people who were showing no emotion, they were actually watching a neutral screensaver. And what we actually found is that, for the most part, the suppressors were viewed more negatively than the people who were showing no emotion. And this is really interesting because this goes to show that, you know, only within a matter of a few minutes, just observing someone who is suppressing, people are able to recognize that suppression is something unique. It's not just that suppressors, you know, may start to show an emotion and then pull it back. So it's not just that they're viewed as showing little amounts of emotion. They're viewed as something completely different. And so really the implication is suppressing in some situations, it can be worse than essentially showing no emotion at all.
Really?
I mean, yes.
So I mean, what did people have statements? I don't know if this comes out looking like when people take polls of political candidates, but did they give impressions by word about what they thought about the other person?
No. So what we had is after each video, the participants filled out a number of essentially ratings. So an example of a rating is, to what extent do you see this person as talkative? And that gets into extroversion. Or, you know, to what extent do you see this person as caring about other people's feelings? And that kind of gets into extroversion. So really all the questions were already out there. And so it wasn't like they were just freely reporting on their impressions. We had them talk about their impressions in terms of major personality traits, and then also other traits that have to do with how they see the people in their normal relationships. So are they people who tend to be more avoidantly attached or anxiously attached?
So if you're looking at the two different realms of videos here, the happy and the sad, I mean, were people judgier for one or the other about the people suppressing the emotions?
Exactly. What we found is that compared to the suppressors who were suppressing sadness, it was much more worse if the suppressors were suppressing amusement. And this actually makes a lot of sense if we think about, you know, our cultural norms for what kinds of emotions people should and shouldn't show. Like, you know, as I previously mentioned, in Western culture, which again is where our study took place, we really value the expression of positive emotions. And so when you're suppressing amusement, you know, this is just going against our culture's norm to show it. But in our culture, we don't value the expression of negative emotion as much. And even in some cases, we would value suppressing it. And so this is why the suppressors who were suppressing a negative emotion, sadness in this case, it wasn't as bad. It didn't make their personality seem as negative as compared to the suppressors who were suppressing amusement.
Huh. So the leaving the impression that you have no sense of humor is potentially more damaging than somebody who thinks you can't be sad enough.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way of putting it.
Well, Allison Tackman's our guest at the University of Arizona now, did a study at the University of Oregon about social responses to expressive suppression, the role of personality judgments, a study out in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Is it fair, though, when we talk about suppressing emotions from a movie, I mean, is it fair to compare those to suppressing events in real life?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, follow-ups to what we would like to do with this study would be to move this into a more naturalistic situation. So an example would be where someone is observing two people interact, and it's unstructured. So you may have someone who tends to suppress quite a bit and maybe another person who doesn't, and just have them naturally interact, videotape that, and then have people actually watch this and form their impressions of the suppressor. And so, yeah, we definitely would like it to move it back into more of the natural world, but really we were interested in what kind of impressions are people forming of suppressors, like what you mentioned, in a zero acquaintance situation where they only are given the opportunity to just observe them prior to interaction.
Now, there's a good question that you pose in the writing of the work itself about is suppression viewed as weak emotion? What'd you find out there?
Yeah, so we found that, no, it's not. And that's a great question, because a lot of research on suppression, you know, we don't really know. What does suppression look like in the eyes of perceivers? And if suppression is just low expression of emotion, so you're just showing mild versions of emotion, then you would expect that the suppressors would be viewed intermediate between expressors and the neutral targets. But like as I mentioned, the suppressors were actually viewed more negatively in most of the cases in comparison to the neutral target. So this is showing that people don't just interpret suppression as a lower intensity version of emotional expression. There's something more that people are seeing when they're viewing suppressors. And from past research, you know, we know that the act of suppression, it's actually very cognitively taxing, because you're feeling the emotions, you're starting to show them, you're pulling them back. And this takes a lot of energy. And we've noticed that sometimes when people are suppressing, they have unique nonverbal cues. So they may blink their eyes a little bit more, or there tends to be a little bit more mouth movement that normally wouldn't accompany freely expressing emotions.
And as you pointed out, that cognitive taxing can really interfere with the formation of relationships.
Exactly. It can interfere with that, and then also think about it within a relationship. So previous research has looked at, among people who are interacting, when one person is suppressing and the other is not, the partner of the suppressor, they actually feel essentially unappreciative, or that the suppressor is not being responsive to them. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If when people are suppressing, they're constantly saying, I'm feeling an emotion, I don't want to feel this, I'm going to pull it back, I'm not going to show it. They're using up their mental energy or their cognitive energy, and you know, they can't be as responsive to their interaction partners as they would like.
So where does the research go from here? I mean, Sanjay appears to have done some other work in this vein, your colleague at the University of Oregon.
Right, exactly. So I think one major direction that I would like to go into is we know that suppression is costly, socially costly. So I want to know, why is it that people do it? And I think it's because, like as we briefly talked about, there are some situations in which suppression can be normative or a socially appropriate response. And in these situations, suppression should be adaptive. And in our study, we actually found one finding that suggests that there are situations in which suppression can be beneficial. And so I would really like to, with my future research, investigate those circumstances, those situations where first, you know, suppression is more normative or it's more socially appropriate. And in those circumstances, what are people thinking of suppressors when they're viewing them? Are they viewing them more favorably? Or is it something where they're just not viewed bad?
Huh. A lot of work still ahead here, clearly, but this is some fascinating stuff. Social responses to expressive suppression, the role of personality judgments. Basically, we judge people who hold their emotions back. So say the findings of Allison Tackman and Sanjay Srivastava at the University of Oregon. She's now at the University of Arizona. She's been our guest today. Allison, best of luck, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.